Well, good morning, Shore community. Good morning. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to this place. And we are going to give our hearts to God afresh this morning through our act of worship, our devotion to Him. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we choose to open our hearts to You today. We welcome You in this place. We say, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, have Your way. You are welcome here. Come, Lord God, come. We pray that our hearts, our thoughts, our words, our singing and our deeds will be pleasing to You this morning. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you would feel comfortable standing, please stand with me and we'll worship the Lord in song. Welcome to those watching online. Sorry for not welcoming you just before. And just feel comfortable and just open yourselves and let's worship the Lord. And I'll just plug my ears in. Cheers, Dave. Great stuff. Cheers. Talk among yourselves.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yeah.
Sandy, before we get lost in the heavens, come and do the notices.
Good morning, everybody. And a very warm welcome to you online, and especially to anybody who is here for the first time this morning. It's lovely to see you. So just a few notices. You've got them all on the email, so I'm not going to go through them all, but I will go through and highlight some of the things that are happening this week and a couple of extra bits as well. Joe Parnell spoke to you last week, I think it was, about this book, which is full of stories from missionaries around the world, including our lovely Joe, and she will be in the cafe after the service. So if anybody wants to have a look at it, sign up and get one, then please go and have a chat with Joe. So this week then, tomorrow at 7:30, there's a meeting for everybody who is interested, women who are interested in helping out with the Women's Ministry Day in February. So Sylvia will be running that. And I guess it will be in the cafe area, but that's 7:30 for anybody who's interested. 7:30, we have music practice on Wednesday. Again, everybody is welcome, and if you want to know more, have a chat with Jamie or with Dave. Yeah. A couple of things to remind you about, I think that they were said last week as well, and I certainly said them the week before, is about the CAP Christmas hampers. Thank you very much to everybody who's contributed so far, but we could do with some more. There's a box in the foyer for you to add food to, and there are lists of food that would be ideal, and that would be really lovely to be able to bless the CAP clients that are linked to this church. That would be really wonderful, so thank you for that. And Kim from Treasure Box, we're going to do a winter coat rack this year. You've probably heard of those before, where we have coats available for anybody who needs them. So that's going to be in various places. It'll be in the nursery. We'll probably have it in Renew on Mondays and Fridays and various other places and at events during the week. But we need coats to put on it. So any coat, any colour, any size, children's, adults, whatever, so long as it is washable. So if you can bring those in, and I'm assured that there's somewhere to put them in the foyer, I don't know where, but anyway, put them in the foyer somewhere, and we will wash them and we will put them on the coat racks, and that will be brilliant to have that available. And then the last thing, it's nice and warm in here today, which is great because we've got some super duper new radiators and a new thermostat system. But it's electronic, so please do not ever, ever touch the little thermostat-y thing. You know, at home, you can just turn things down and turn it up and all the rest of it. You can't. And if you do, you will break them, so please don't. So just, you know, enjoy. Can anybody help take the baskets round, please? So this is our usual weekly collection. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
See, I've taken my jumper off. It must be warm. Please, let's stand if you'd like, or headstand, or lie down, or however you want to engage with God this morning.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought in the day.
This morning,
who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine? Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine.
Should we sing that again?
Who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine? Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs, a thousand more.
Who else would die for our redemption?
Whose resurrection leads us? This song is forever yours. with a thousand hallelujahs. We magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more.
I think maybe now would be great for us to bless the children. The one child. I almost feel like we all need to lay hands on him. Just stretch out your hands. You know, when we stretch out our hands and willfully release the Spirit of God within us, something actually happens. So that's why we do it. So, Father, we bless the children's ministry this morning. And, Lord, it really doesn't matter because you are the one who will go back for the one. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that this morning that numbers are not important, but that actually this child will be majorly blessed by you, Lord, as whatever anointed methods are used to teach him this morning, Father, and to just engage him with you. So, Father, release the power of your Holy Spirit on this child, on his family, and all he represents, upon the workers who are going to be with him. Father, just anoint them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I take it that was the plan for him to go with you. Yes, great, good, okay. Praise the Lord. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Can you see that? Can you see that? In your mind, can you see Calvary? I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah's is enough to praise Jesus' name. But there's more, and it's coming soon.
Shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. If
If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. Every burden, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face.
Let it fall, let it fall.
love your presence. We love, Lord, your weighty presence among us, and we welcome you, Lord. Come, more of you. Let the train of your robe fill this temple, Lord. Come. Makes me whole.
exalted far above all gods. Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth.
Spoken through you today, Stuart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you too, Simon, for your welcome, and to all the musicians for the way that you've led us in worship this morning. Not forgetting, of course, the folk at the back of the room who keep us going on the technical side of things. We're very, very grateful to you too. Thank you. Yes, for those who don't know me, I'm Stuart Robinson. I'm one of the retired ministers here at the Shore. I think we're just trying to confuse everybody these days, because a couple of weeks ago we had a second Simon preaching after this one here, and now you've got a second Stuart. I'm not Stuart Philby, I'm Stuart Robinson. We just do it to confuse everybody. What is it with all the S's at the moment? I wonder who it will be next. Anyway, that being as it may, one of the nice things about being a speaker, or for that matter, a band member or anyone else who comes up the front here, is that we can see everybody from a different perspective from usual and look out on all your wonderful, lovely, smiling faces. Well, most of them anyway. It really is a joy. And if you are joining us online, I'm sure you too have lovely smiling faces. It's just that we can't actually see you. But isn't it good to know that nowadays, even when we're elsewhere, we can still be part of what's happening here, and that the church family can know itself to be so much broader than just those of us gathered in this hall. So an extra welcome to you who are online, in addition to the welcomes you've already had from Simon and Sandy. That's two more S's, isn't it? Oh, okay. When Jamie and I talked about what I was perhaps going to do this morning, he made it quite clear that I was equally welcome to preach either as part of his current series of talks or to choose a standalone subject. And as he's right in the middle of Genesis chapter 3 at the moment, and we're all getting such a blessing from that, I've decided it makes obvious sense to do a one-off. And I felt led to share a few thoughts with you all on the wonderful theme of holiness. With the subtitle, there it is, with the subtitle, What Does It Really Mean? Holiness. What does it really mean? Now, holiness, it has to be said, is one of those Marmite subjects. Depending on your previous experience of what people have said about it, your reaction on hearing today's title may or may not be similar to what it would be if someone announced that their theme this morning was going to be divine judgment. In other words, you just possibly might think, oh, that's going to be a bit of a turn-off. And if you're online, of course, you can do just that. You can turn off if you want to. I do hope you won't, by the way. If you're here in the hall and you didn't manage to slip out fast enough a moment ago, I'm afraid you're more or less a captive audience. So, what is this man going to say to us about this thing called holiness? Well, the first thing he's going to do, in fact, is to ask a question. No need to call out any answers or anything embarrassing like that. In fact, you won't want to when you've heard the question. But just ask yourself, am I a holy person? Or is the person sitting next to me a holy person? Definitely don't answer that one out loud. And if the whole thought seems a little bit of a weird one, ask yourself, what pops into my mind when I hear the word holy? What, for example, does a holy person look like? What might he or she spend their time doing? Do you think of someone in holy orders, perhaps, living a life cut off from the outside world in a regime of quiet prayer and contemplation? Or at the other extreme, someone very much in the world, maybe, devoting their entire life, perhaps, to the care of the poor, such as Mother Teresa. Do holy people have to have had an unusual calling? Or is holiness, simply an impossibly high standard of moral and spiritual perfection, such as no ordinary mortal like you or me could ever hope to attain. Whatever picture the word conjures up, isn't it only certain special people who can be called holy? Well, as a help towards answering that, let's hear what a few of the scriptures have to say. First of all, let's go to the first letter of Peter and chapter 1 and verses 3 to 16, which, yes, they're up on the screen there, and I'll read those now. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. We were thinking a few minutes ago, weren't we, how Jesus Christ is coming soon. That's wonderful. So far, so good. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Okay. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now that makes it a bit more immediate and personal, doesn't it? But like that, it seems more than a tad challenging, wouldn't you say? Jesus is holy, so we, all of us apparently, need to be holy all the time. But then the same writer, Peter, goes on in chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 to make it all sound rather more wondrous and exciting. Let's try that instead. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Well, that's more like it. Much more encouraging. And another passage I'm going to include because it's relevant to all this is written by Paul to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 20 to 26. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Throughout its history, the church has flipped and flopped in its understanding of holiness. Possibly because it didn't understand it. Who knows? In some traditions, it has shunted the whole subject into a convenient siding, making it the preserve of a special saintly class of Christians, so that it won't bother the rest of us too much. Well, at the opposite end of the spectrum, there have been various holiness movements whose striving for moral perfection on the part of every church member has ultimately left everybody exhausted, demoralized, and disillusioned. Or worse still, living a lie, still claiming to be what they aimed to be, but failing miserably. Because if human nature is flawed, in the way that Jamie was describing last week, and it is, then it stands to reason that human effort, including the effort to be holy, will also be flawed. All of which makes the New Testament sound rather strange. Because especially in the letters of Paul, but in other places too, we find the whole church, all of those who have decided to follow Jesus, referred to as holy ones, as though it's something that has happened already. A, it does apply to all of us, and B, it's not just something we aspire to, it's an established fact. It's done and dusted. Well, done at any rate, even if not quite dusted, perhaps. Essentially, we are holy. But depending a bit on which Bible version we use, we may find that our translators have let us down slightly. It's always nice to have someone else to blame, isn't it? Even if that's not a very holy thing to do. And in this case, our withering gaze can be directed at some of those who translate the Bible, the New Testament from Greek into English, and who like to pepper its pages with words like saint or sanctified, which is basically the same word. Hagios, which doesn't sound very nice to our ears, does it? But it's actually the Greek word for holy, is often translated saint when it's referring to Christians in general. Which is confusing because we often think of saints as amazingly special holy people. However, many of Paul's letters, those written to the Corinthians, the Ephesians or Colossians, to take some examples, are addressed to the holy ones in a particular city, often translated as the saints of that city, by which he means every single Christian believer living in that place. They're all holy ones, or saints as some would have it. And if we too are Christian believers living in a particular place today, which we are, that means we too are holy ones. So let's get to the root meaning of this word, hagios, the Greek for holy. Essentially, it describes someone or something set apart for a particular reason or purpose. And it therefore very quickly gets applied to those people or things that are set apart from all that surrounds them in a religious sense. The temple in Jerusalem, for example, or the priests who serve there, or the objects used there. All of these are holy, set apart, because their purpose is to worship and serve God. And he himself is holy, set apart, other than, different from any of the gods of the surrounding nations. God is holy in a unique sense because he is before all things and created all things, but also holy in being good beyond our wildest imagination. We ourselves, on the other hand, as we've said, are flawed human beings. We, as we know only too well, are not good beyond our wildest imagination. Now, that's true of people who are Christian believers and true of those who are not Christian believers. to use the religious term, we are all equally sinners. The thing that is different about Christians is that we have come to know that while we may indeed be flawed, God, in his infinite understanding and infinite goodness, has reached out to us in Jesus Christ. In the dying and rising again of Jesus, we have received new life by being enabled to trust in him. While remaining as flawed as the next human being, our purpose, our spiritual outlook, the whole direction of our lives has become fundamentally different. The New Testament teaches us that as Christian believers, we have become a new creation. In enabling us to respond to Jesus and to begin a new journey with Jesus, God so closely identifies with us that we are even told we become his children. We're described as being already citizens of heaven, and therefore actually foreigners, aliens, temporary visitors here in this world. We were, in our natural state, set apart from God. Now we are set apart from the outlook of the world around us. In that sense, we are holy already. No wonder then that when Peter speaks of our being a holy people, called out of darkness into God's wonderful light, we sense not a groan of despondency at having to try to be holy, but a gasp of amazement and a jumping for joy that we are holy. We too are other. We are set apart. Not in the same way that God is, by his very nature, set apart, but by our calling as Christians. And it's not something we did ourselves. It's something that Jesus did for us. We are not the same as God, but we have far more in common with God than with the ways of the world. We identify with God, and he is pleased to identify with us. That's amazing. It's a work of God. We could not have done it. But what about that other aspect of holiness that Peter mentions? The need to be different in conduct as well as in outlook. Because that's the one that so often causes in us that inward groan that should be a gasp of joy. It's this moral demand that we suspect is too hard for us. We can't simply avoid it. It's there in the New Testament as well as the Old. As he who called you is holy, says Peter, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. If you're wondering where it's written, it's in Leviticus in the Old Testament. If for God, being different also has a moral dimension, then it must have a moral dimension for us as well. Identifying with God involves identifying with his nature. It must do. But in understanding what this means for us, we often overlook the important fact that if our being set apart to belong to God was achieved through the work of Jesus, then any moral change in us must also be achieved through the work of Jesus. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised his followers the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. And on the day of Pentecost, the believers were able to bear witness because the Holy Spirit came upon them. But so often we think of this event only in a verbal way. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is associated in our minds with using words, using speech to tell people the good news about Jesus. And of course, that has an important role to play. But the name Holy Spirit has become so familiar to us, it slips off our tongues so easily that we sometimes miss the significance of the bit that says holy. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus whom we are given, is holy. And the Holy Spirit is in our lives. The work of Jesus by his Holy Spirit is to make us holy, so that not only our words, but our lives as well, become a powerful witness. And in fact, the power of the Spirit in us is evidenced by the fact that although we don't often notice the ways in which we have become different, or the change that is already taking place in our lives, other people do notice that. Even the most eloquent believer is not always in a position to tell people the gospel. But all of us are being enabled to live the gospel. Our lives do bear witness even when our words cannot. And when we realize that this aspect of holiness is not something we have to produce, it is the Spirit's work within us, then it becomes no longer a burden, but a joy. Can we not sense the excitement of Paul, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3? We didn't read this earlier, but he says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." We sang it, didn't we, a few minutes ago? "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory." Being called to follow Jesus sets us apart as God's family, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, helps us, enables us to take on the family likeness, to start to become like God in character, to be holy in this world. And being holy doesn't mean that we become holier than thou. It's not something we draw attention to as though we think ourselves morally superior to others. It's not a matter of comparison at all. It's simply that by his Holy Spirit, Christ is making us more and more Christ-like. He is doing it right now in every one of us, whether or not we are always aware of it. It's happening. Of course, life in this regard can sometimes become a bit of a struggle for us, but perhaps only because we are not always content simply to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We become discontented with the pace of change in us, frustrated with ourselves, and we try to run ahead of the Spirit in our own strength. Or maybe sometimes it's the opposite. We do not really want such and such a change to take place, and we put obstacles in the path of the Holy Spirit. Then, it does, either way, become frustrating. But if we welcome the Spirit to come and work in us each day, asking afresh to be filled with the Spirit, and then leave it to Him and refuse to be fretful, we shall find that we continue to make progress, cooperating with God, doing things Jesus' way, as His Spirit directs. And so finally, what do we mean by Jesus' way? Jesus' way is quite simply the way of love, determined, uncompromising love. It is being good and doing good, not yet perfectly in our case, but in cooperation with God. Love is the expression of holiness. It's holiness in action. Genuine love is the holy life, pure and simple. Putting the will of God and the welfare of others first in those ways that the Spirit tells us to. That's what Jesus did and does today through us. Without His love, there will be no joy or peace or any of those other qualities such as patience and kindness and goodness, etc., that we read about in Galatians chapter 5. Love heads the list for a reason. It is the key to all the other qualities. And notice again that sense of liberation, freedom. Against such things, there is no law, says Paul. They couldn't stop you even if they wanted to. And loving people in Jesus' name is the expression of living in the Spirit. Love is what it means to walk in the Spirit. So Christian holiness is not a set of theoretical principles, certainly not a set of rules. It's love in action. The greatest tool of evangelism is often one that is comparatively silent. It is to love one another as Jesus has loved us. That's His own commandment in John 13. And He says the result will be that everyone will know that we are His disciples. There'll be something different about us. If people see the reality of Jesus in the way that we relate to one another, then the love that we share will demand a response deep inside them. God's love is so different that it cannot be ignored. And His word tells us that that love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. All other Christian morals, all other spiritual attributes, they flow from the love of Jesus. God is love, and He is a holy God. Love is the measure of God's holiness. It is therefore the measure of our holiness also, and is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The more we welcome the Spirit of Jesus to have His way in us, the more like Jesus we shall become. And the more we seek the good of others, living by His power in us, the more we shall indeed declare with our lives the praises of Him who makes us holy, the One who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. I'll let you decide, Simon, whether there's going to be another song or whether you want to lead us in prayer. I'll hand over to you.
One more song? One more song or closing prayer? Come on, let's do it.
Well, thank you, Stuart, for that beautiful message. And love is the answer. Everybody sing a narrow boat up here for a second. I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I'll raise a hallelujah. I'll raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Hallelujah, I
we praise you, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can sing with confidence, with faith in the middle of our storms. We can sing because heaven is coming to fight for us. Hallelujah. And so, Father God, I just pray that as we go out from this place, as we mix before, as we have coffee before, but Lord, as we go forth from this place, that your Spirit will empower us to raise a hallelujah no matter what life circumstances present us with this week, no matter what the physical storms of life present with us, and no matter what the other storms of life present us with. Raise a hallelujah. In Jesus' name, the blessing of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore.